Well, good morning. Welcome to Hoboken Grace. If you can still hear, go ahead and take out your phones if you have your phone with you. As you walked in today, hopefully you got the card talking about our online program and our notes for you to be able to take notes today are found right there in that online program. Now, this week we don't have a question of the week, but several of you responded last week about what holiday was it? And if you didn't see it last week, we just posted a question, gave you three different options of what holiday it was. And last week was National Near Miss Day, because apparently at some point in history, we almost got hit by an android last week that date. All right. So just want, for those of you who asked the question and took the time to answer it, I know we didn't give you the time to be able to hear the answer to that. So I wanted to make sure that I got back to you about that. That's what happens when you have Anthony on staff. For those of you who know Anthony, he brings in all sorts of fun facts like that. But make sure that you check that out on your program. Make sure that you find your notes there. And then also we're going to be talking about several other things as well. If you haven't been with us for the past few weeks, right now we're in the middle of this conversation called payout. And we're talking about how in our lives, the decisions that we make do not just affect that moment, but that there's an exponential impact throughout time of those decisions. And so we've introduced this word called payout. It means the principle of actual yield over undetermined time. And if you haven't been with us, you probably walked in and thought to yourself, why in the world is there just a pile of corn on stage? That makes no sense whatsoever. As we've been talking through this, what we've been introduced to is a principle that we found in Galatians chapter 6, or that we find in Galatians chapter 6, where God is helping us to be able to understand that, listen, the decisions that you make, the journey that you're on, the direction that you take, it has the potential for exponential impact in your life. I want to take you back to that original passage. It's found in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. It says this. It says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." Consider the payout. Your decisions will yield exponentially in your life over time. And so what we've been doing is we've been taking this truth that we see in Galatians chapter 6, and we've been looking at how God doesn't just share this with us in Galatians 6, but he shares this with us over and over and over again throughout his word, calling us back to this picture of the seed. And so we've been taking this principle and bringing it into different aspects of our lives. We started off and we looked at influence and the people who influence us. Consider the payout of influence. Last week we moved beyond that and we talked about investment and consider the payout of investment. And again, we saw God using the picture of the seed and saying, listen, how you use your finances, it's going to produce exponentially in your life in one way or the other. But investment has more to do with more than just finance. Right? It also has to do with time, energy. It has to do with our time, our talents. And so what I want to do today is I want to kind of build on that investment idea or that investment payout. And I want to draw your attention to another passage where you see God using this picture of a seed. Now, I'm just going to give you a heads up because I know it happened in the first service. It happened again in the second service. I know it's going to happen in the third service. So I just want to let you guys know what's happening. At some point in this service, I'm going to do this, right? Because, and you're going to think to yourself, he doesn't actually have a beard that's long enough to do that. What is he doing? But 2 weeks ago, I actually did. And this past weekend, I had to do a wedding. And brides don't look really favorably on the pastor doing the wedding, having like a long goatee. It's something about the pictures messes everything up. I don't know, whatever. So I had to shave. That's why I wasn't here last week. I was doing a wedding, so I had to shave. But I'm still thinking that I have a beard, right? And when you have a beard, this is what you do because you think you're wise. And so you just sit around and you do this all the time. And so I got into that habit. I no longer have the beard, but I still do this. So when I do that, just know why. It'll still be weird, but just know why. But we're building on this idea of investment. And I want to take you today to a passage where Jesus is talking to his followers. He says, listen, let me tell you about the kingdom of heaven. Let me explain to you what it's like. And as he does, he's trying to explain to them something that's very complicated. It's very, very difficult for them to be able to understand because they can't necessarily see it. So he begins to tell them all these stories. And I want to take you to one of those stories in particular where, again, he uses the picture of a seed. It's found in Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, Jesus begins to tell a story. He says, listen. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says, this is what it's like. He says, listen. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up quickly and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So he says, let me tell you about the kingdom of heaven. He says, it's like a farmer. And again, he goes back to this picture. He's a farmer. He's out, he's scattering seeds. He's planting. He's sowing these seeds, sowing these seeds, sowing these seeds. He says, some of it fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it and took it away. Because others of it fell on this soil, and it looked like it was going to take off. It started to grow, but there was rock underneath. And so the roots couldn't go deep. And the first sign of difficulty, it died. And then there was other soil, and it started to grow. But then there were these weeds that grew up around it and choked it out. And so it produced no fruit. But then there was another soil. And as the seeds fell into the soil, it didn't just produce one for one. Again, going back to the principle of Galatians, it didn't just produce one for one. It produced exponentially. 30, 60, even 100 times. And as we began this conversation, we looked at this principle that only a handful of corn, just a couple handfuls of corn, has the ability, just naturally, corn produces 80-fold, just naturally. Just a couple of handfuls of corn can produce all of this. He says there were certain seeds that fell and they took root and they produced an unbelievable harvest. Now it's interesting because the disciples, as they heard this story, they didn't get it, which probably doesn't surprise any of us, right? Did they ever get it? They never got it. And it's funny because I used to be like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with these guys? But I've really learned to appreciate the fact that the disciples were stupid. Do you appreciate? I mean, do you understand how valuable that is to us? Because I read it and I'm like, wow, these guys, they just never get it. But I've grown really grateful for that because, I mean, if God can use them, he can use me. Right? Because these guys, I mean, they're just so dumb. And so they're looking at it, and usually Jesus is really gracious with them in this and really patient with them in this. But in this situation, he actually gets a little bit frustrated. And he realizes that they don't get it, and they're asking him questions. And so he has to explain it to them. But listen to how he starts. He starts off, he says, then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? It's like, guys, this is an easy one. So the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. He says, guys, this isn't complicated. He said, the picture that I'm painting here is the picture of what happens when you take the truth about who God is to those around you. When you begin to share your story. And I use that word on purpose here. Now, I want to explain for a second why I do and why I'm going to use that terminology, your story, throughout the rest of this conversation. Because it used to be, when I interacted with this idea of sharing God's word, I was really intimidated by it. As a matter of fact, even as we're talking through it here, even as I began to read that explanation of what Jesus is teaching his disciples, for some of you, when you heard that this is about sharing God's word, you got nervous because you're like, I have no idea what that would look like or how in the world I would do that. That was me. For most of my life, I was terrified by that. I was overwhelmed by that. I looked at that and thought, man, that is so big. Because here's the thing that I thought. I thought that sharing God's word, that what he was describing there as the farmer, I thought in order to do that, I needed to be a theologian. I thought I needed to understand everything. I thought I needed to be able to have all these passages memorized where I was going to be able to sit down with someone. I was going to be able to walk you through everything that the Bible taught about who Jesus Christ was and how you should give your life to him. I thought that sharing God's word required me to be a theologian. But then I began to read through the words of Jesus Christ to his followers when he talked to them about how they're going to share his word. And I found him using one word in particular over and over and over again that was unbelievably freeing for me. I want to take you to one passage where you see him use it. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He's just about to send his disciples out, and he says to them, listen, this is how you're going to share me. And he uses a word to describe it. Listen to what he says. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I grew up wanting to be a lawyer, so when I came across this word witnesses, it stood out to me. Because when you're familiar with law, you know that a witness is bound by certain things. A witness isn't someone who comes in and speaks to everything that is involved in the trial. A witness is not a specialist. A witness is someone who comes in and they talk to or they speak to what they have personally seen or experienced. If a witness talks about something that they have not personally seen or experienced, it's inadmissible. It's hearsay. And so as I heard Jesus using this word over and over and over again, I began to realize that he wasn't calling me to be a theologian. What he was calling me to is just simply this. You take what you've learned about me. You take your story, the way you've experienced me, what I've brought into your life, and you share that with someone else. You don't have to understand all of it. You don't have to have it all figured out. And you know what was interesting? Because I tried to become the theologian. I tried to become the person who knew all the passages. And I had it all laid out of how I was going to teach people about who Jesus Christ was. But no one wanted to sit down with me for 45 minutes. No one was interested in hearing my theory or this long explanation. But then when I began to grab a hold of this word witness, and I began to just step into other people's lives and just say, here, let me just tell you what God's done for me. Let me just be a witness. All of a sudden, I began to see seeds sprouting up in the lives of the people around me. And for some of you, even as we begin this story, you struggle because you're like, sharing God's word, what does that look like? I don't know enough. I mean, I just came to trust Christ recently. I don't know what that would even begin to look like. I hope that word witness will free you today. That this idea of sowing seeds is moving through life and just every chance you get, every opportunity that you get. And I love how you just see this farmer, he's just sowing, he's just throwing them out there. It's just that every chance you get, you take advantage of it and you be a witness. You just share your story. And this is the truth about God and how it's impacted me. This is what I know about God's word and how it's changed my life, the way I interact with my family. It's changed my life, the way I interact with purpose. It's changed. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. It wasn't intended to be overwhelming. And so he begins to share the story and he says, this is a picture of what happens when you begin to be a witness, when you begin to move into the lives of the people around you and you begin to share God's word, the truth of who God is and how God loves them and how God has loved you. And I love this story because it comes at the situation, or it gives us a picture that helps us understand two sides of this coin. Because on one side, I think he's telling the story because I think he's calling us all to examine our own lives and ask ourselves, okay, wait a second, what soil am I? When I look at this story, who am I? Am I the one that's the rocky soil? Am I the one are there weeds growing up in my life? Or when I look at my life, is there fruit? Is there a harvest that I see? And so I think he's telling the story for us to be able to examine it from that perspective. But then also, I think he's telling the story for those who are sowing seeds. Because I think he wants us to understand that, listen, as you share your story, there are certain things you should expect. And as you're out there being a witness, there are certain things that you should expect so that you don't become discouraged, so that you realize where the hope is, so that you don't begin to believe that it's hopeless. And so what I want to do today is I want to walk through this story and just kind of break it down piece by piece, and you see these different soils, and just kind of take a look at them, and take a look at them from two perspectives. One is from the perspective of, okay, is this me, and what does this look like? But then also from the other perspective of, okay, as you're sharing your story, understand this, look to this, don't become discouraged by this. And as he starts off really simply, and he doesn't elaborate on this a lot, but he just says really simply, you know what? The farmer's out there and he's scattering the seed. Some of it falls on the footpath, and as it falls on the footpath, the birds just come and they eat it. He says, guys, what I'm talking about here is the fact that you need to understand that there's someone who's actively working against you. And you need to expect that. And I think he's sharing that again from both perspectives. And so for those who are here and you're hearing it and you're beginning to interact with this truth of who God is and whether or not you can trust him, I think it's important that you understand there is someone who's actively working against that in your life, who wants to be able to bring in lies and sow doubts and fears. He says sometimes he's successful. And so as you're sharing that story, and some of you know that what that feels like, you're sharing your story every chance that you get, but it seems like you share it and just nothing comes of it. It's just gone. There's no impact whatsoever. He says you need to understand. And I think that this calls us, as you read through the rest of the scriptures, I think that this is one of those things that just calls us to prayer over and over and over and over again, understanding that there's a battle that we have been born into that is not simply what we can see. He says, but not only do you see the seed that falls on the footpath, but then you also see the seed that falls on the rocky soil. Now, growing up, I used to think, well, why would the farmer sow seeds in rocky soil? Like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Why would the farmer, I mean, if you see rocks, you're not, but if you read it carefully, you realize that the farmer doesn't realize that there's rocky soil there. It says that there's soil, but then underneath there's rock. And so he sows it, and you see the seed hit, and it begins to grow, and it takes off, and it looks like there's an unbelievable promise there. But the roots don't go deep because there's rock. And so the first storm that comes along, it wipes it out. It's dead. This is one of the reasons why here at Hoboken Grace, we're always talking about how important it is that you become self-feeders, that your roots need to grow down into Christ, that it's not just that you're here and you're here on Sundays and just being fed, but that you're interacting with a dinner group and surrounding yourself with people who are pushing you towards Him. It's one of the reasons why we put such an emphasis on the habits of Bible reading and having that conversation with God throughout the day in prayer. And we talk about memorization, and you see, even on your online program, your memory verse is right there at the top. Why? Because it allows you to be able to grow your roots down into Him. So that when the storms come along, it won't throw you off. When the storms come along, it won't destroy you. Because the truth is, sometimes you sow that seed and you see it begin to take off. But then there's this lie that can come along with the message of Christ, that if you give your life to Christ, then everything's going to be great. If you give your life to Christ, then you never have to deal with the difficult circumstances again, and it's a lie. It's one of the reasons why at the beginning of this conversation we talked about how the message of Jesus Christ is that you're going to be forgiven and that God is going to walk through this with you. But if you make decisions that are foolish, you are going to have to encounter the consequence. So he says, let your roots grow deep. And I think one of the misconceptions that can come along with this is that we can begin to believe that because we've been a believer for a long time, or because we've been going to church for a long time, or because we've claimed to follow Jesus Christ for a long time, that our roots are deep. Or the other misconception that I think comes along with this as well is that when our roots are deep, that they'll just stay deep, and that we don't have to worry about it anymore, we don't have to watch over it anymore. I was reminded this week of just how false that is. Some of you know that Anna and I have been going through a really difficult situation with our middle son, Cale. Our second son has Down syndrome, and so the day he turns 3 years old, the state stops providing therapy for him, and it moves to the school district. And then the school district is responsible for providing that therapy, and so he has to begin school full-time the day he turns 3, which was 2 weeks ago. And as we're working through this process, there's a great school for children who have Down syndrome in northern New Jersey. They're doing amazing things with these kids, but over the past year and a half, the Hoboken School District has stopped sending kids to this school, and they were trying to bring them into the district. And as we looked at it, we just really didn't believe that it would be best for Cale in any way, shape, or form. And we were really struggling. And we walked into a meeting 2 weeks ago where they were basically going to decide what they were going to do with Cale. And we had basically settled in on the fact that we were probably going to have to spend the next 6 months to a year in the middle of a lawsuit with the school board, just fighting for what's best for Cale. And it was hard. But the truth is, 2 weeks ago, we walked into the meeting, and it turns out there had been some people inside of the school system who'd been fighting for these kids. And even though the week before they had denied a kid access to this school, as we walked into that meeting, everything that we'd been praying for, God gave us. And Cale was allowed to go to that school. As a matter of fact, he started there this past Tuesday. And the really cool thing is that they went back to the young girl, the little girl who had been denied the week before, and sent her there as well. And it's just, I mean, it's beautiful to see what's happened. And here's the thing. You would think that coming out of that conversation that I would have been overjoyed. You would think, and I thought coming into this week, I was going to be so excited about who God was. But Monday morning, I sat down coming out of everything that we've walked through, and I sat down where I usually sit down in my office to have a conversation with God, to spend that time with Him. And for the first time in a very long time, I said to Him, I don't want to talk. I don't know if I want anything to do with you right now. And I know for some of you, you're thinking, oh my gosh, but I learned a long time ago that hiding from God or not being honest with God is just a waste of time. I said, and as I began to process it, I realized that as we walked out of that meeting, everything that we've been going through, both with Kale and several other things in our lives over the past 3 months, just hit me like a rock. And the difficulty of it and the pain of it. And as I sat there that day, I was just like, God, I'm just mad. And it was one of those moments that was a root check. And I'll be honest with you, God and I are still in the middle of an argument. And we will be. We've done this several times. It was one of those moments where if I didn't have the people around me that I do, the people that I've been able to have conversations with this past week, if I didn't have the habits, you never know when the storm's going to come. And I don't care how long you've been on the journey, if you're not watching out for your roots, it can wipe you out. It can wipe you out. And so as he comes to us in this story, he says, pay attention to your roots. Pay attention to your roots. And my fear is that as we look at this story, that for some of you, you're beginning the journey, and so you're going to take this seriously. But for others of you, you've been on the journey for a long time, but you've allowed your time with him, you've allowed your conversation with him to begin to slide. But because you've heard this story a lot, or because you've been a believer for a long time, you're going to think to yourself, that's not me. But your roots have gotten shallow, and rock has begun to develop. And when that storm comes, if you're not careful, it'll wipe you out. There's a seed that falls on soil and it begins to grow. The roots aren't deep, and so when that difficulty hits, that persecution hits, it kills it. And so he calls us to say, wait a second, how am I developing my roots? How am I developing my roots? And then also for those of us who are sharing, to say, listen, don't let it surprise you. Watch out for it. As you're building into those around you, pay attention to their roots, develop their roots. Their habits. Those who are influencing them. But not only is there the seed that falls on rocky soil, but then also you see the seed that's planted and it falls and it begins to grow, but then there are weeds that come up along side of it. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. I'll be honest with you, serving here in Hoboken, this is the one that I see most frequently. And he says, the seed is planted, and all of a sudden it begins to grow up, and you see this individual, and they're hearing about how God loves them and the mission of God, and they're so excited about it, and they can't get enough of it, and they want to do more, and they want to figure out how they can love more people, and they want to figure out how they can be used better and in more ways, and you see them take off, and you're like, man, this is going to be incredible. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with them. But then there's that opportunity for the promotion. And they know, if I take this promotion, I'm not going to be able to serve the way that I did before. They know, if I take that promotion, I'm not going to be able to be part of the family the way that I was before. I'm probably not going to be able to make it to dinner group. But the lure of wealth, the lure of the things around them, it pulls them away. They look at that, and their whole lives they've heard, man, the goal is the beach house. And if you can have that beach house, and they look at that and say, man, I know if I get it, I'm not going to be able to serve and love the people that I've been loving because I'm not going to be able to be here on the weekends. But the lure of wealth and the things of this world just begins to pull them away. And all of a sudden, their investment and their participation in the mission just begins to drop. And it's interesting because I don't know if you notice this or not, but there's a distinct difference between the rock and the thorns. There's a distinct difference in what happens, because with the rocky soil, it says that the plant dies. With the thorns and with the weeds, the plant doesn't actually die. It doesn't say that the thorns grow up and choke it out and it dies. It says, no. It's still alive. It just produces nothing. And I think this is one of the great dangers of this, because in the situation you can look at it and say, no, my faith is still solid. No, I still believe in Jesus Christ. No. I still trust him. And Jesus, as he tells the story, says, yep, you're right. It's still alive. It's just that at the end, rather than there being that, there's just one. It produces nothing. And so he calls us to look at your life and say, wait a second, okay, what is it that's keeping you from being all in? What is it that's keeping you from just giving yourself to the mission? Is the lure of wealth and the lie that the security is found in the finances, the retirement package, the vacations, the promotions? Are there weeds that have grown up in you? And you still believe in him. But because of those weeds, at the end of the day, there will be no harvest. There will just be one. And then on the flip side of it, for those who are sharing, and you're sharing your story, he's saying, listen, you need to understand this is going to happen. And sometimes you're going to share your story, and it's going to be so exciting, it's going to be so promising. But then they're going to get pulled away. And it's so frustrating because you had so much hope for what was going to happen and how God was going to use that person and the harvest that was going to be the result of that person. But as you watch, you realize it's just going to be the one. You see the rocky soil, you see the thorns. He said, but then pay attention because don't miss it. He says, there's also the seed that falls on good soil. He says, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. He said, but then there's the other seed. And it falls on this soil, and it springs up, and it just continues to produce and produce and produce and produce and produce. And produce. And I think both of these are speaking to the person who's the sower, because it's speaking to the one who's frustrated. And maybe some of you are here and that's you, and you've been investing your life into people and you've been sharing your story, but it seems like even when it seems like it's taking hold, it ends up coming to nothing, and you just keep sharing and and you've become discouraged because you haven't seen the harvest yet. And God says, listen, don't give up. Just like you see in Galatians chapter 6, don't give up, because if you continue to sow that seed, even though there are times when they fall away or when it dies off, he says, if you continue, there will be the ones who take hold of it, and it will produce more than you could have possibly imagined. And here's the thing about the farmer as he's sowing. He has no idea. He doesn't know which soil is going to produce weeds. He doesn't know which soil has rock underneath it. He's sowing, and God's saying, you have no idea, but you keep sowing, because if you will, there will be those seeds that will fall on the good soil, and the harvest is exponential. 30, 60, even 100 times what had been planted. And I think when he's saying what had been planted, he's not just talking about that one seed that fell on good soil. I think he's saying 30, 60, 100 times all that had been planted, including what had been planted that fell on the footpath, including what had been planted that fell on the rocky soil, including what had been planted that fell amongst the thorns. It's going to explode, and you have no idea which ones it will be. This is so relevant for me right now, not just because of what I shared earlier, but then also because as we come to the six-year point with Hoboken Grace, I can look back over the past 6 years and look at all of the seeds that have been sown. And I could give you names of seed that fell on that rocky soil. They were excited about who God was. Man, they were taken off, but then there was a difficulty. All of a sudden, something went wrong, and it took them out. I can give you names. Or you look back, and you can think of just individual after individual. Man, they came to know Christ, and they were baptized, and they're excited, man. They're on fire. God's going to use them. They started getting involved, but something happened at work, or all of a sudden there was an opportunity that came up that they just couldn't pass up. And some of them are still around, but they're just observers. They're just watching people change lives. They're not actually part of changing lives. Names. But then there's also the ones that you never expect. I was reflecting on that this week, because this coming week I have the opportunity to be able to speak at Stevens Christian Fellowship, and every year they do this special dinner where they call everyone together. And they're inviting all their friends to just come hear the message of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done for them. And they do this big dinner for them. And I have the opportunity to be able to speak at that dinner this coming week. And I was reflecting back on the last time that I spoke at that dinner. It was actually 2009. It was a long time ago. It's amazing to think that it was that long ago. And I was reflecting on that as I was studying through this passage, and I remembered how at that dinner, after it was over, there was an individual that I'd had a couple of conversations with. He's just this scrawny little kid, about who God was. And he came out of that dinner and he gave his life to Christ. Scatter seeds. You have no idea. And even coming out of dinner, you had no idea what the byproduct of that would be. Some of you know that kid. His name's Rob Williams. Those noises that you just heard from those who know him, you heard those noises. Because Rob's producing that. Rob just got back from Jordan. It was Jordan, right? The reason I ask is because every time I turn around, he's in a different country doing something to be able to help people come to know who Jesus Christ is. A couple months ago, Rob quit his job. He wanted to use his life to impact people. He didn't like what he was doing. It just wasn't impacting people as much as he wanted to be able to impact people. Now he's literally traveling the world making documentaries. It's unbelievable. Scatter the seed, you have no idea. No idea. And sometimes the soil that you least expect to produce, it produces beyond your wildest dreams. It's been so exciting for me because since we started the year here, I've actually been able to baptize two people that I met because they came up to me after attending their first service and they just wanted to inform me that they're atheists, and so don't waste my time on them. For some reason, those who attend who are atheists, they often feel it's necessary to inform me of this fact. And so after the service, they will come up to me and just say, hey, listen, I want you to know I'm an atheist. I don't really believe in all this stuff, but I'm checking this thing out, which is just weird for me anyway. But I'm like, that's really cool. That's exactly why we started Hoboken Grace. Two of them have been baptized since the beginning of the year. You never know. You never know. And so you sow the seed. You tell the story. You be a witness. And you understand that there are going to be times when it comes to nothing. You understand there are going to be times when that difficulty takes them out. You understand there are going to be times when the lure of wealth renders them unproductive. But then there are those times. Then there are those times when it produces 30, 60, even 100 times what has been planted. And just as he says in Galatians, I think this story screams out to us, don't give up. Don't grow weary of sharing your story. Don't grow weary of being my witness. Don't grow weary of investing your life into other people. Because if you will continue to sow the seeds, there will be a harvest. And so today I want to challenge you with three things. One, to ask yourself this question. Which soil are you? Because I think you have the choice. I think you have a choice about whether or not you will grow your roots deep. I think you have a choice of whether or not you allow those weeds to grow up in your life. Which soil are you? But then moving forward from that, who needs to hear your story this week? You go back to the beginning of the year, we're talking about investing and inviting this idea that you are moving into the lives of people around you and sharing your story. Who needs for you to be a witness to them this week? Not to be a theologian, just a witness. For them to know that Jesus Christ changes lives. Who needs to hear your story this week? And then the third challenge is this, because for some of you, you get the investing part, but you've bought into the lie that we reach people as individuals. I don't think that that's true at all. I think that we reach people together. That's what the inviting thing is about. It's about bringing those that you're sharing your story with into this family so that they can hear story after story after story after story of how God is changing lives. You don't do this alone. That's why we have teams. That's why we call ourselves a family. That's why we work together in all sorts of different ways inside of our services and inside of our community to be able to love people better. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about how we work together in this. And he's actually in the midst of an argument because certain people are claiming that they're better because they were baptized by Paul, and other people were claiming that they're better because they're baptized by Apollos. And Paul's like, this is ridiculous. This isn't how it works. This isn't about individuals reaching people. This is about us reaching people together. Listen to what he says. It says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seeds in your heart and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. And it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Again, same picture. He says, you don't just do this alone. We do this together. I just want to challenge you. For some of you, you've come in contact with our family, the Hoboken Grace family, and you're enjoying it, but you're still an observer. And maybe you're sharing your story as an individual, but you're not yet doing it with us together. This is about moving into the world around us and investing, sharing our story, but then bringing them into a family where together we're using our gifts. The conversation that we're starting after Easter is a conversation called gifted. You have been gifted. And using our gifts together to be able to help people find their way back to God in order to be able to scatter these seeds, knowing that what Jesus Christ has told us is true, that when we do, there will be a payout. There will be a harvest. You never know when, but there will be a harvest. So I want to challenge you. What soil are you? Who needs to hear your story? And I want to challenge you to join us, to not just tell it on your own, but to be part of a family on a mission to plant seeds and to watch God produce a harvest. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we process this question of what soil we are, I pray that we would understand the hope in this, that this is not just about realizing where we are, but also realizing what is possible for us, the beauty of what you're showing us here, that we can be the ones who experience that harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times what was planted. Father, I pray that we would be honest with ourselves about where we are, about what we're going through. Father, I pray that as we begin to sow those seeds, and I pray for those who have been sowing those seeds, I pray that this story would just bring us incredible hope today, that it would give us confidence. And maybe some are here today and they've been sowing those seeds, man, they're just not seeing a harvest, and they're tempted to give up, they're tempted to pull back. I pray that this would drive them to sow more and more and more, trusting you that some will fall on the good soil, and as a result, will multiply exponentially. Father, I pray for those who are here who've been observers. I pray that today would be the day when that would end. I pray that they would stop watching baptisms, the result of someone else impacting someone's life. That they would join us, that as they watch people take that step, as they watch more and more people find their way back to you, that they can know that they've been a part of that. That they were part of sowing and watering that seed. Father, I thank you for how you love us. I thank you for how you call us back to this picture over and over again, so that there can be no mistaking it in our lives. I pray that we would consider the payout of our story and move forward with hope. In Jesus' name, amen.